strengthen those practices and be of service to others who may not have those practices. So from a Buddhist perspective, like I said, this is a great time because Buddhism really likes to turn the conventional world that we live in on its head. So as all of us know, because we're all humans, human nature is to protect the self. So we find out there's this virus in the world, and right away, our first concern is, am I going to get this virus? Are the people I love going to get this virus? So right away, we go into this very natural response of self-protection. And there's nothing wrong with this. This is human nature. We all have it. And the beauty of the Buddhist perspective is that we can use that human nature and that self-protectiveness to help stable our minds and to expand our vision to all sentient beings. So the antidote for this kind of clinging to the self and wanting to protect the self is to think about others, and that can be done through actions of helping others. It can also be done through a simple thing of just maybe making a phone call to somebody who you think might need some support right now. And it can also be done through a practice called metta, which I'll talk about later, which is wishing well for others. So there's a lot of ways to work with this self-clinging, which is usually what causes us our suffering in life. I have several favorite teachers, but one of my other favorite Tibetan teachers' name is Anam Tupten Rinpoche, and he has a sangha here in Richmond, California, and he has a book that's called No Self, No Problem. And I love the title of that book because it really helps me just kind of wake up in the moment like, oh, I'm suffering because I'm clinging to myself and what I want and how I want it to be. And when I can move beyond that, things start to soften and relax, and I automatically start feeling more at ease and better. So I really appreciate his teachings as well. And in Buddhism, we talk about also the dichotomy of attachment and aversion. And that can also be thought of as like grasping or clinging or pushing away. And again, this is human nature. We all want to grasp for what we want and what makes us feel good. And then we want more of it and we don't want it to go away no matter what. So then we kind of work all kinds of things around trying to keep it that way. And there's a lot of suffering that ends up happening sometimes with that. And then the things that we don't like, we want to push away. And again, we can work really hard at keeping things that we don't like away from us and cause ourselves and others a lot of suffering in that process as well. So as Carl mentioned, Pema Chodron is one of my favorite teachers. I've studied with her for years, and now she and I have the same teacher, so I get to practice and study with Zigger Kantrul Rinpoche. And I love Pema Chodron's book titles as well. I call them Pema Chodron's greatest hits. And they, again, are like very simple lines that just make me feel like they, you know, kind of switch me out of whatever thing I'm obsessing about and get me to focus back on creating a stable mind. And many of you have probably been exposed to some of her books, but I'll just throw out a few titles. Let's see here. Comfortable with Uncertainty. So that's a great one to be practicing these days. And another one, her newest book is called Welcoming the Unwelcome. So maybe she kind of had some kind of knowledge of what was coming to us because she wrote that book. But it's another wonderful book. Or you can just think of the title over and over again. Another one is Taking the Leap. So she's constantly kind of pushing us to go into this groundlessness and practice on feeling like we can be there, and we can be there for longer periods of time, and we're going to be okay. Another one of her books, which I'm going to read a quote from now, is called The Places That Scare You. I don't know if you can see this. And the subtitle is A Guide to Fearlessness in Difficult Times. So you can imagine that we could apply this to our current situation, but you know, we all experience difficult times at different times in our lives. So as I mentioned, the aversion and the grasping, attachment, aversion, or pushing away and grasping, the antidote to that in Buddhism is equanimity. And equanimity is a state of mind that has kind of a neutrality to it, but it's not an aloofness. It's actually a very engaged mind state, but it's a mind state that is allowing for all things to be there. And it's not judging, it's just observing and allowing. And so one of the great tools of Buddhism is to practice for the mind, you know, do these practices that help lead to a mind of equanimity. So I'm going to read this quote to you, and I invite you to close your eyes while you listen so you can really take it in. That's just an invitation. Equanimity is bigger than our usual limited perspective. That we hope to get what we want and fear losing what we have, this describes our habitual predicament. The Buddhist teachings identify 8 variations on this tendency to hope and fear. Pleasure and pain, praise and blame, gain and loss, fame and disgrace. I'm going to read those again because those are the kind of the opposite experiences of the things we want that we grasp and the things we push away. So pleasure and pain are the first. We grasp for praise and we push away blame. We grasp for gain and we push away loss. And we also have sometimes an attachment to fame and push away disgrace. So as long as we're caught in one of these extremes, the potential for the other is always there. So if we're grasping for pain, if we're grasping for pleasure and we don't get it, then we're going to end up in pain. So those two things, you know, those opposites are always kind of jumping around with each other. I'll get back to the quote now. Oh, they just chase each other around. No lasting happiness comes from being caught in this cycle of attraction and aversion. We can never get life to work out so that we eliminate everything we fear and end up with all the goodies. Therefore, the warrior bodhisattva cultivates equanimity, the vast mind that doesn't narrow reality into for and against, liking and disliking. That's the end of the quote. So as usual, Pema Chodron sums things up very clearly and articulately. Pema Chodron's root guru was Shoyang Trungpa Rinpoche. He came from Tibet to the West and brought the Shambhala teachings. And he teaches a lot around welcoming in the things that we don't want. And he calls this compost of enlightenment. So these are the things that we invite in and we work with them and we practice with them and we relax with the difficulties in our lives. And as we do this and we observe them, we notice that they will change because that goes back to the teaching on impermanence. Everything changes. So every feeling and emotion that we're having, you'll notice if you just sit with it 5 seconds later, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 5 hours, that same feeling probably won't be there anymore. So I wanted to just share with you that there's presently a lot of Dharma that you can access online. There's a lot of wonderful teachers. Thich Nhat Hanh has some teachings coming up online. Tara Brach is a great teacher. Pema Chodron is somebody you can look up on YouTube. Spirit Rock has a lot of things going on. The East Bay Meditation Center is doing their sits and meetings online now. So I feel very positive that this is a great time that Buddhism is just going to explode, and there's going to be a great transformation of our society. I'm trying to stay very hopeful. I see you, Padgett. Everybody cross their fingers. So I want to leave you tonight with three practices. I'm just going to describe them slightly. We're not going to have time to do them because I want to leave a little time for questions or comments. These are three very simple practices that I feel are accessible to anybody, and they've been helpful to me. So I want to benefit others and sharing them with you. The first one is meditation, which most of us here are already doing. Any amount of meditation, whether it's 10 minutes or 10 hours a day, is helpful. When people are just starting, there's no reason to sit for hours and hours, but just sit and follow your breath for 10 minutes a day is a great way to start. And I like to think about the mind like a sky, and thoughts are like clouds, and the clouds are just moving across the sky. So when we're meditating, we're not focusing on the thoughts, we're just allowing them to pop up and move on. And I like to remember that the word is we're practicing. So there's no like end point, there's no perfect meditation. It's a practice that we do for the rest of our lives, as long as we choose to do it. And I want to say that about the other practices that we do, yoga, martial arts, mindfulness, to emphasize the word practice, because there is no perfection here. That's not what we're going for. We're going for just feeling grounded in ourselves and having a steady mind, so that our heart can be more open. So the first practice I wanted to talk about was meditation. The second one is called metta, and that word means loving kindness. And as I said, as we practice equanimity, our mind is more stable, and that gives us more access to be able to do the heart practices of loving kindness and compassion. So loving, sending metta can be as simple as wishing that all the people who are suffering with illness on the planet have some ease and relaxation. So it can be as simple as that. And you can do this with yourself, you can do it with others, you can give yourself loving kindness and compassion, you can include yourself in your community, your family, and extend it out to all sentient beings. But it's a great, powerful daily practice, so I encourage everybody to do it. And then the third practice is gratitude. And I think that we all who are sitting here able to get on the computer and see each other's beautiful faces, I have great gratitude for this. I feel that no matter what's going on in my life, I can always find something to be grateful for. There are people living on the street a few blocks away from me, so I often practice having gratitude for my home and my good health and my practices that I've had in my life and the great teachers I've had. So try to find something every day that you can feel grateful for, and it's a great antidote to your own suffering in yourself, or feeling sorry for yourself. So it's okay to feel sorry for yourself. Just let it be there, and then find some gratitude. And I think I'm just going to leave you with that. And I appreciate all of your great energy and warmth. And if there are any questions or comments, I think we have a few minutes for that.